This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And he's also a major figure in biblical and Judaic, you know, Christian and Judaic studies. So he's actually a central figure to all three faiths. Some even call him the father of the three faiths or the monotheistic faiths. But the way we look at Ibrahim alayhi salam in Islam is actually very different from how our Christian and Jewish brethren look at the same figure. As a matter of fact, my conversations with a friend of mine who's a rabbi, many of our conversations are about Ibrahim alayhi salam, and what they think about him is almost completely different from how we perceive him. So it's really important, especially living in a society where the dominant religious discussion is Christianity, that you know, you may have been exposed to certain things about Abraham or the story of Adam or etc., you know, the Adam and Eve narrative, and some of our kids have heard these things maybe, you know, in the background, maybe at school or maybe, you know, from other friends and things. So the Islamic version, the Quran and Sunnah narrative, and then the biblical narrative get confused with each other. Right, and one of my attempts, inshallah, is to make sure that we understand clearly what it is that we believe and why that's so significant. And inshallah, hopefully through the course of this evening, I'll also share some of the things that make our story not only unique, but far, far more important to share with the people of other faiths. In other words, even though you can have a conversation with a Christian friend or a Jewish friend and say, hey, we believe in Abraham too. We believe in Ibrahim alayhi salam also. Actually, because this narrative is so different, it's almost as though we're obligated to reintroduce them to these prophets. We have to reintroduce them. And when we do, it's almost like, and I've experienced this personally, it's almost like they didn't even know them. Like what they knew of them is completely shattered by this other account, you know? And so some of that I'll try to highlight this evening as well. Now the second part of this introduction, I want to share with you that my personal view within whatever Quran studies I've been able to do over the last, a decade and a half, is that the Quran, a surah of the Quran, is perfectly organized. And so if Allah Azza wa Jal puts a story in a surah, there's a reason He put the story in the surah. And you know that most of the time, the story is only one small part of a surah. It's not the whole story. It's not the whole surah. So where He places it and why He places it, and all of the, actually pretty much most of the time, He doesn't even tell us the whole story. He tells us a very small part of the story. And He'll tell some other part somewhere else, right? So which part He chose to tell and where He chose to tell it, all of it is strategic. All of it is important. None of it should be overlooked. This is part of trying to understand the Quran. So even though the core conversation I want to have with you today is about 11 or 12 ayat, it's not much. It's the 120s to maybe the 130s of Surah Al-Baqarah. That's it. That's what the story tonight is about. It's a conversation, it's a beautiful conversation that takes place between Ibrahim alayhi salam and Allah. That's the dialogue that takes place between the two of them. That's what the story is about tonight. But because it's in the 120s of Surah Al-Baqarah, we need to understand some things about Surah Al-Baqarah first. We need to understand where this is and why it is where it is. So the first thing I'm going to do, this is going to be a little bit of a mental exercise. It's going to be tough to do. And the only way I know that you're following along is if you make a little noise when I ask you rhetorical questions. When I ask you to repeat something after me or I ask you a question, you're going to have to call it out loud. Don't raise your hand. It's okay. And you can speak during this program. It's not a khutbah. So it's fine. Okay? If the person next to you does not speak, kindly elbow them and, you know, wake them up, inshallah. Okay? But all the way in the back, I can't even see your heads anymore, but you need to make more noise than the people in the front, so you don't feel like you're disengaged, inshallah. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The first thing I want to talk to you about is a layout, a map of Surah Al-Baqarah. Just a big overview of Surah Al-Baqarah. And the way I'm going to do that with you guys is I'll explain to you that Surah Al-Baqarah can be broken up into 9 parts. Okay? And this is where the mental exercise begins. I'll expect you to know what those 9 parts are by the time I'm done with this discussion, because I want this kind of resting in your minds. The first part of Surah Al-Baqarah is about the heart. Part 1 is about the heart. Now there are 3 things that can happen in the heart as far as Allah is concerned. Either you can believe with your heart, you could have disbelief in your heart, or you could have hypocrisy in your heart. Yes? So believers, disbelievers, and hypocrites. Those are the 3, right? So Allah will say, for example, about the believers, لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَلْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Look at all the words. There's no doubt in it. Doubt is a problem of the heart. Then He says that it is guidance. Guidance. وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ. You know, Allah guides the heart. And then he says, هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is guidance for who? People who have taqwa, consciousness of Allah. Where is that consciousness? It's in the heart. فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. They believe in the unseen. Where does belief or iman rest? It's in the heart. That's why Allah Azza wa Jal talks about iman being beautified in the heart. وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. He beautified it in your hearts. So it seems in the beginning when Allah talks about believers, the emphasis is on what lies inside a person's heart. Then He switches over and says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Those who disbelieved. Now, kufr or disbelief lies where? Inside the heart. This is why, you know, خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَى سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَى أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Their hearts are the things that are sealed. Then the third group of people, some of you are familiar. The first group talked about was the believers who have faith in their heart. The second who've completely rejected faith and have nothing left in their heart and their hearts have been sealed. And the third group, pretty scary group, may Allah not make us from them. Who is that group? Anybody know? Call it out. Hypocrites. Very good. And Allah says about them, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٍ. Their hearts have a disease. In their hearts there's a disease. So, seems the subject matter, belief, disbelief, and hypocrisy, all of it tying back to what? The heart. You with me so far? That is part what? That's part one. Here's part two. Part two, Allah Azza wa Jalla switches over to where this entire legacy began. This entire story of iman and kufr and hypocrisy, all of it begins with the first story, the story of Adam alayhi salam. So our second story, or the second part of this surah, is the story of Adam alayhi salam. And it's a brief account in Surah Al-Baqarah, even though a very profound account. Allah tells us things about Adam alayhi salam in Baqarah that He doesn't tell us anywhere else. So it's very unique. A special status was given to Adam alayhi salam. إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Other places in the Qur'an, He'll tell us He's creating a bashar, someone made of skin. He's going to be made of clay. He's going to be made of dirt. So the humility of Adam alayhi salam is highlighted in other places. But when Allah highlights Adam alayhi salam in Surah Al-Baqarah, He highlights his special status, a khalifa on the earth. Someone being left behind. Someone who's going to have multiple generations after him. Someone that'll have a lot of responsibility. And that's why the angels were shocked. How can this creature take responsibility? أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَا يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ. The angels started wondering, how could this creature be worthy of this honor that Allah has given him? Right? So that's the second part of Surah Al-Baqarah, the story of Adam alayhi salam. Okay, the story of Adam alayhi salam. And of course, in this story in particular, if you compare the all other seven times Allah talks about Adam alayhi salam in the Quran, this one time Allah highlights what makes Adam alayhi salam special, you know, even more than other places. Allah will mention ruh other places, which is awesome, but Allah will highlight the knowledge of Adam alayhi salam. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَى. Allah will also highlight that Adam alayhi salam should have been looking out for revelation for himself and his future generations. That, you know, now that the story of humanity has begun on the earth, you make sure you pass down to your children that if and when guidance comes to me, they better follow it. That's why the words are in the plural. فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى. If guidance comes to all of you from me, well, not all of you, it's just him and his wife. That's all they are, our mother and our father. So it's not even kuma, it's yatiyannakum. Why? Because it includes all of their children. Anyway, let's go back to part one. What was it? Because I need you to keep up. Well, part two, Adam alayhi salam. Part three, there's a switch. Ya bani Israel, udhkuru ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum. What's going on? What do you think this part is? Yeah, the Israelites. I'll call it the Israelites. Allah starts talking to them about the great favor He did to them. You notice also, I'll mention some of these things as we go. You notice we were just talking about our father. Our father who? Adam alayhi salam. And now all of a sudden we're talking about children of Israel. Father to children. Okay? And now these children of Israel, Allah is telling them that He did them a huge favor. They should mention the favor Allah did for them and how He gave them preference over all other nations in the world. You know, this is actually very parallel to Adam alayhi salam. What Allah did for Adam alayhi salam as a person, Allah did for Bani Israel as a nation. Because Allah gave Adam alayhi salam special status, didn't He? And now, didn't Bani Israel also get special status? They got a special preference that others didn't get? Allah gave them knowledge that Allah didn't give other nations? Similarly, Allah gave Adam knowledge that Allah didn't give other creatures? Allah gave them a preference over all other nations, just like Adam alayhi salam was given even a preference over the angels in this case. So there is this matter of preference. But there are other parallels too. You know, with Adam alayhi salam, There was that historical mistake that our parents made and they ate from the tree, yes? They were tested, and briefly, they didn't pass the test, and then as a result, there's reprimand. Isn't that the case? Everybody knows that part of the story? Now, is it the case that when Allah will talk about the Israelites, are they tested? And they're tested multiple times. Just like who has already been tested? Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam was told, listen, you may not have passed the test this time. Next time around, look out for revelation. It'll keep you from failing the test. That's the point. The Israelites received more revelation than anyone in history. Over and over again. كُلَّمَا هَلَكَ نَبِيٌّ خَلَفَ نَبِيٌّ. Every time a prophet would die, another would take his place. Go on to part three. Ah, what does the desert represent? What do you think? Huh? Why the Israelites? Because they wandered in the desert. Okay, so I'm just trying to get you to remember these things through pictures, right? So we're in the desert right now of the Israelites, right? So, like they say in the Arabic expression, أَتِيَهُ مِنْ قَوْمِ مُوسَى, more lost than the nation of Musa, because referring to the wandering in the desert. But anyway, so about the Israelites and the parallels they have with Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam was, you know, when he was given this revelation, or when he was given this instruction, and you know, he was tempted and he ate from the tree, even before then, wasn't it that the angel said he will shed blood? He literally said, يَسْفِكُ الدِّمَا, he will shed blood. And when you read the account of the Israelites, Allah literally says, didn't I tell you, لَا تَسْفِكُونَ دِمَاءَكُمْ, didn't I tell you, you're not going to be shedding your blood? And you're not going to be killing your own people and kicking them out of their homes? Meaning fasad, you know? So Allah says this, and then the Israelites, did they end up doing this? Shedding blood and causing corruption? Yes, so the complaint of the angels, are you creating someone on the earth who will shed blood and cause corruption? The case study of that in the Quran was who? The Israelites, making it seem like the angels were onto something. Like literally in the same surah, the same wording is being used for the Israelites, that they made these mistakes, and that's being highlighted. Now, that the reason it's being highlighted is also significant. Because they were tested time and time and time again with revelation, with difficult trials, just like Adam alayhi salam was told they would be, that the revelation would come and help them. But the problem was, the final version, you know, when Allah told Adam alayhi salam to look for revelation, it started coming. The earliest revelations, for example, given to Nuh alayhi salam. Then ancient prophets like, you know, Ilyas, like, you know, Idris. You know, ancient prophets, especially prophets of the Israelites. But what is the last part of that promise? When the promise is completely fulfilled, Allah's promise of sending revelation is done. There's no more to come. When is that fulfilled? The Quran. It's the climax of all of it, isn't it? So the promise that was made to Adam alayhi salam as he was coming down, the final version of that promise where it's completely fulfilled is the coming of the Quran. And the one nation on the earth that was more qualified to tell that is revelation. More than any other nation. That had more background knowledge, that had more qualifications, that as soon as they would come in contact with revelation, they would be the first to know that this is definitely what Allah promised, and this is the final installation of that promise. Which nation was that? The Israelites. And ironically, وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَوَّلَا كَافِرٍ بِهِ. Don't be the first to disbelieve in it. Not the first to believe, they became the first in line to disbelief. So that's the criticism Allah makes of the Israelites. Now I'll move along quickly, but before I do, I need you to give me 1, 2, and 3. What's one? The heart. Number two? Adam alayhi salam. Number three? The Israelites. The trials of the Israelites. And that goes on for a long time, right? That's a big chunk of Surah Al-Baqarah. Moving from there to part four, very good. This is actually what the image for this program was. The title of this program is The Father of Two Nations. We actually start talking, this is the passage that I will be talking to you about in detail, but I first wanted to place it for you. What I will be talking to you about is literally section 4 of the surah. How many sections are in this surah according to this? There are 9. So today's discussion when we get there is about section 4. And in section 4, Allah switches gear, He stops talking to the Israelites, and He starts talking about Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now why is that important? It's important for several reasons. I already told you, Adam alayhi salam is the universal messenger, yes? All of humanity, his father, their father. Then you go to the role model nation that was supposed to be the model for all other nations, which is who? The Israelites. Now actually, interestingly enough, we're going back to another father. We started with a father in section 2, who's Adam. Then we went to children, which is the children of Israel. And then now we're going back to a father again, which is who? Ibrahim alayhi salam. The reason for which the Israelites rejected the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the primary reason is that he did not belong to the blessed family of the children of Israel. Revelation is a gift given to the children of Israel. These are the chosen people of God. Allah, God has made special promises to this nation. And the other children of, you know, of Abraham are kind of condemned. As a matter of fact, in biblical and Jewish literature, Ismail alayhi salam, not only considered illegitimate, but a child who will have evil offspring. This is actually taught off the pulpit. So there's no way that a child of Ishmael, because Ismail alayhi salam, the, you know, raised in the Arab land, yes? And from his descendants is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is no way he could be receiving revelation. What is Allah telling the Israelites by going over to Ibrahim? Listen, if you have respect for Ibrahim alayhi salam, then you should have respect for all of his lineage. You, before you are considered, before you consider yourselves children of Israel, by the way, the other name of Israel is Ya'qub. Before you consider yourselves children of Israel, you should consider yourselves children of Ishaq, who is his father. And as you consider yourselves children of Ishaq, you should consider yourselves children of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And if you consider yourselves children of Ibrahim, then you are brethren, you are brothers with who? The Arabs. There's no reason for you to think that ethnically, or by race, or by your descendants, you are somehow more special than the children of Ismail, because both of you are tied directly to what makes you people special. What makes you special is that you are children of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So he's taking them back to the original. We're tying things back to the source, and the source being Ibrahim alayhi salam. That is why he's the father, in my title, he's the father of two nations. Which two nations? The children of Ismail and the children of Ishaq, and through Ishaq, Ya'qub, and Ya'qub is called Israel, right? So those two lines, the father of both of them is he. So he's the, in a sense, for as far as revelation is concerned, he's the second Adam in that sense. The Adam that was told alayhi salam of all of revelation in the beginning, and then the Adam that from, or the second one, Ibrahim alayhi salam, from whose descendants revelation will continue on the earth, that's this father. Ibrahim alayhi salam. So that's where his narrative is placed. Now Allah tells us about Ibrahim alayhi salam and his interactions with both of his lineages, which is pretty cool. We're going to see that in this passage. He's going to have love and adoration and prayers with his son Ismail and their generations. And then he's going to turn to Ishaq, or actually Ya'qub, and Ibrahim will share a prayer also. So both lines are covered beautifully. So that we don't say, well, now the children of Ismail are blessed, therefore the children of Israel are cursed. Which is the mistake Muslims make. So the Israelites, we blame them because they hate the children of Ismail. But we've become no different. We've become no different. So now we say, you know, the Quran has come, and look at these Jews, look at these Banu Israel, look at these Israelites, look at what they did, look at how the Quran complained about them. These are definitely inferior people, etc., etc. As a matter of fact, the word Jewish has become like a foul word in some Muslim circles. Right? And that's actually exactly the same mistake who made? They made. They were exactly this way. By the way, Semitic is the term used for Arabs and, you know, and Israelites. So we're just as anti-Semitic as they may be anti-Semitic towards Arabs, and Arabs can be anti-Semitic towards them, or Muslims in general, you know. And so that's going to be addressed, inshallah, by the universal nature of this father, alayhi salam. Okay, let's go back. 1, 2, 3, 4. Help me out. The heart. Adam alayhi salam. Bani Israel, Ibrahim alayhi salam. We got four parts. Have I been able to show you how they're all connected in this moving forward? Yeah. Here's number five. Part five. Part five is restoring. The image didn't load, huh? The part, it's a picture of the Kaaba.